Good evening. Tonight is Monday, May 5th. I'm Evan, and you're listening to the Kinky Crafter Podcast. So for this week's craft segment, I decided to go ahead and do a steel spreader bar. It's a very handy thing to have for keeping arms and legs, spread at a fixed distance. Obviously, it can be incorporated into bondage for several different uses. And it's a generally all-around useful device. You're good for keeping arms spread overhead, that sort of thing. Now, the one I put together is fairly straightforward as far as spreader bars go. It's about 30 inches long with two eyelet bolts, one on either end, and made out of 1-inch square steel tubing with 1/8-inch thick walls, which is incredibly sturdy. Now, the reason I decided to use this material was mostly just because I had a fair bit of it laying around as leftover from the portable suspension frame that I put together. Yeah, so I figured that'd be a good way to make use of leftover materials. And I figure I'll walk through the basic the basic steps that were involved in making the spreader bar that I did for this segment. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the uses and some of the variations that you can do and some of the things that you can do to make it a little more versatile, more aesthetically pleasing, safer to use, etc. So as far as putting it together, the first thing you're going to need is a length of steel pipe, or aluminum can be used, particularly if it's not going to be load-bearing at all. Aluminum works very well. It's very light. It's going to be less cumbersome for the person that it's attached to if they're having to move around with it at all. So depending on the effect you're going for, well, that'll either be a good thing or a bad thing. The steel, like I said, is fairly heavy and solid, so it's definitely very, they're not going to forget they're wearing it around, suffice to say. Now, the most common place for finding a length of pipe like this, they might carry it in your local hardware store, Home Depot, Lowe's, etc. That's probably your best bet for finding a shorter length of it. Also, different kinds of your round steel pipe might be able to be found in the plumbing section. For the square tubing like I have, as far as I know, I don't believe the last time I checked, Home Depot carried that particular kind in that in the thicker wall. When I bought mine, I had to pick up 2 20-foot sections of it for the material for the stand from a local steel yard. You should be able to find one locally. I know it. I'm tempted to say the 1-inch square steel piping with the 1/8-inch walls was something like $26 for a 20-foot section of it. It was fairly inexpensive. But unless you have a really big truck, you're probably going to have it cut down. Most of the steel yards will actually do that for you for a nominal fee. Unfortunately, if you get there right before they're closing, you may have to sit around in the parking lot with a hacksaw and chop it up so that it will fit in your small sedan. Not really a process that I would recommend, having made the mistake of being in that situation once myself. Not fun, turns out. But like I said, if you do a little prior planning, you can get them to cut it to whatever specific lengths that you want. So assuming that you have it in either the initial length that you want or something a little more manageable in size, the next step that I went through, since I only had to take about 6 inches or so off of the piece that I was working with, I set up a bench shop type clamp, vice is the word I was looking for. I set up my bench vise, clamped it right near, but not right on top of the spot that I wanted to cut, supported the other end of the pipe so that it wasn't bouncing around or, trying to tip the vise over since it's not bolted into place and was just sitting on top of my coffee table. I should also probably mention that since I was doing this on my coffee table, which is not the most recommended place in the world to work on things, but it'll do in a pinch. I did take the precaution of laying down a layer of paper towel under everything, which helps, kind of cut down on the fine metal particles that end up all over the place anytime you're doing any cutting or drilling. And also a note of safety precaution, anytime you're doing any kind of cutting or drilling with metal, you always want to make sure to wear a pair of safety goggles. You only have, one or two eyes, and depending on your personal situation, and you really want to take care of them because that's all you got, and they're kind of easy to mess up. Now, if you're not doing this on your coffee table, the ideal way of cutting these would be with a chop saw with a metal cutting blade. If you happen to have a friend with a shop or know anyone that does any metalworking, that's a really common thing for them to have around. And instead of having to wear your arm out with a hacksaw, it takes about 3 seconds with a chop saw. So that's definitely the preferable method if you have access to that. So once you have it cut to the length that you want, at that point I repositioned the steel tubing in the vise so that the end was inside the jaws, and then marked where I wanted the end hole to be. I did that about an inch or so in from the end. And that's where the hole's going to go through both sides to put your bolt through to attach the eye bolt. Now, when I started out with the drilling, I started out with with one of the smaller drill bits that I had, just because when you're doing it by hand, you have a lot more control and it takes a lot less pressure to drill an initial small starting hole that acts as a guide. And then when you have when you switch up to the larger diameter drill bits, each progressive size gets, it's a lot easier to drill with a starter hole than without. So it makes the cumulative process a lot easier. The professional way to do this one, of course, is to have a friend with a drill press, in which case, you can pretty much just start out with the size that you want. You can either hold it or clamp it into place on the drill press. And it's fairly quick and easy operation. That's another one of those things that you can do at home on your coffee table, but it's going to be less precise, and it's going to take significantly more work, and you're probably going to have to go through a couple different size drill bits if you want to do it in a fairly controlled and easy manner. After you're finished drilling and have the final, the final diameter that you want, I turned the piping over so that the part that was on the bottom was sticking up, because when you drill through, it pushes out metal on the backside. And that you end up with kind of a jagged flare out the back bottom hole. So I turn the pipe over, clamp it back in place, and then you can either use the same drill bit that you used the last time and kind of just work the tip of it around the edges to kind of clean it up a little bit, or you can go up to the next size drill bit that you have and just barely touch it against the edge, and that'll kind of scrape around and clean off the edge there, so you have a nice clean, smooth hole surface. It's particularly important to clean it up like that if you're planning on doing anything where you're going to be taking the eye bolts out or repositioning them, or if you have holes drilled at several points near the end so that you can vary the width. You want to make sure that when the eye bolt isn't in there, you have a nice clean surface to work with. And you can also go back in afterwards with a Dremel tool, either with a sanding disc or with a grinding stone, and kind of clean up the area as well if you want to make it really smooth and clean. And once you've gone through that process on both sides, you can basically put the eye bolts in place. The ones I used are ones that I happen to have laying around that are open eye bolts, and basically the end is bent around, but it's not actually you welded or sealed, so it's if you put enough force on it, it will bend open, which is fine for just using it for if you're using the spreader bar for positioning purposes, like to hold legs or arms or whatever apart, it works fine for that. But you don't want to use it for any kind of load bearing, because there is that possibility of it bending open or breaking a lot more easily. If you're planning on using it for things like suspension, what you want to go with is called a drop forged or closed eye bolt. Basically, it's formed out of one solid piece that's not bent around. So you have a solid connection there, so it takes a lot more to, for that to break. And once you have those in place, the next thing that you want to do is to do some kind of finishing on the ends. Because you've just, either cut them with a hacksaw, chop saw, had them cut at the steel yard where you bought it, or even if you just get them, you happen to find it just the right length you want from the store, you're probably going to have some kind of rough edges, you're going to have burrs, things like that. And you don't really want that on the edge of your play equipment. It's going to scratch up things in your toy bag if you have it in there. That's going to scratch up people that you're playing with. You don't want sharp metal edges on your toys, except for the ones that are supposed to have sharp metal edges. But that's That's a different show. Basically, what you want to do is take either a Dremel tool with a grinding stone, or an angle grinder. It works particularly well with a wheel on it that's designed to work with metal. And you want to kind of round off the edges, and particularly on the corners, so that you don't have any sharp edges sticking out. And you want to kind of work around the inside of the pipe just a little bit too, to make sure there's no interior burr. So that if anything, if you put a finger in the pipe, you don't want to be able to scratch yourself. You want it to be fairly smooth. If you round everything off there, it'll be fairly safe at that point. I mean, it's still kind of a metal end that could bump into something, but it's not going to, cut or gouge or anything like that. If you do want to have an extra level of protection on the ends, there are a couple different options there. You can either cut a wooden block to size after you've rounded off everything to fit snugly in the inside hole with a little bit of, you cut it as closely as you can, sand it down a little bit, and then, and realistically you can just kind of hammer it into place, and that will fill up the inside, and, if you put it in place to where it's fairly smooth and then kind of sand everything down, you can have a nice sort of finished look on the ends. And you won't have to worry about things getting in there or getting dirty. That's probably the most straightforward option for closing off the open ends. Let's see, if you're only worried about making it more scratch resistant and whatnot, it's also an option to tool dip the ends. You can pick up a can of tool dip at any hardware store, which is basically just a version of liquid latex that you need for dipping the handles of tools in. And you pull it out, let it dry, and you have a rubber coating on the metal handle. You dip the ends of your spreader bar in there, and then you have a nice, soft rubber coating on the end, so it's a lot less likely to have any kind of scratching or getting banged up, that sort of thing. At that point, you have a basic functional spreader bar. There's a lot of different things you can do to improve the aesthetic look of it and the functionality. As far as the aesthetics go, you could either paint it, and if you're going to paint it, you want to make sure to clean it very thoroughly with a fairly harsh cleaner that's going to really remove all the grease or like when you pick it up from a steel yard, for instance, it comes with this some kind of very thick essentially some protective coating to keep it from rusting that they put on it, and some sort of greasy oily substance you want to scrub off if you're going to do any kind of painting, because otherwise it'll keep the paint from adhering. You also want to lightly scuff it up with a very high grit sandpaper and make sure there's no burrs or anything else sticking off of the metal. And you could use any kind of paint that's designed to be used with metal. I'd probably recommend something like the sort of paint that they carry in hardware stores that's designed for use on outdoor grills. It tends to be fairly sturdy. Some other options for kind of making it look a little prettier would be to wrap it in athletic tape, or the stuff they use for tennis racket handles, something like that, to just to kind of cover up the bare metal if you don't like that look. I'm kind of fond of it personally, but if you're looking for something a little more polished looking, if you want more of a rope look, I believe there's a video on YouTube somewhere. I believe it's by the Two Naughty Boys, which if you go on YouTube and search for TKB, it should come up with something that shows a basic rope wrap that works well on a, I believe they have it on a wooden dowel, but it would definitely transfer over to a square pipe fairly well, I would think. So you could have a kind of a wrapped rope look that covers the entire spreader bar, which kind of looks nice in my opinion. Those are the things that immediately come to mind as far as just the aesthetics of it. As far as increasing the functionality, there's a couple different things you can do. The first one that immediately comes to mind is just drill more holes. It's the simplest way that you can have of making it more adjustable, because then you can position the eye bolts either closer in or further apart. If you go online, you can see some variations of people that have adjustable spreader bars that are actually made out of circular tubing with with the inside threaded and then a threaded rod connecting, two pieces so that they can be essentially unscrewed from the connecting rod to adjust the length. You can also have a solid inner, either a pipe or solid inner bar. With the square tubing, you could use a piece of, 3/4 inch square stock. You probably have to grind down the corners a little bit because the pipe is sort of rounded on the interior diameter. But you can use two sections of steel piping with a connecting section of solid stock with, corresponding holes drilled in it so that the two outer parts can be set at different lengths apart from each other. Or you could do something similar with round piping and a solid, solid steel rod in the center. And you'd want to use, bolts to lock that in place, of course. And that's probably the main options for making it adjustable. For a solid bar, one of the things that you can do to make it more useful is to also drill a hole in the center of the bar. Not the center of the bar, the center of the tubing, whatever material you're using for the spreader bar. By drilling a hole in the center and putting an eye bolt facing in the opposite direction, you can use it for, say, attaching something from a center suspension point to the middle bolt, and then attaching hands, feet, whatever you feel like attaching to the outer part. And basically, the center bolt just acts as a good tie-off point. There's kind of an infinite different number of sort of variations and things that you can do. I could use a matched set of spreader bars with center holes drilled. Attach the ends to the hands and feet. Or you use one spreader bar for both hands and one spreader bar for both feet, and then use a longer third bar to connect to the middle of the the bar connecting the hands and the bar connecting the feet to form kind of an I shape. An interesting way of immobilizing someone. And basically, there's a lot of different options and kind of configurations that you can do just by having a few extra holes and a couple extra bolts. You can really do a lot with a few bars. And that's about it that really comes to mind at the moment. If you have any questions about any of the things that I've talked about in tonight's segment, feel free to contact me with any questions, comments, feedback. As always, I can be reached at evan@kinkycrafter.com. And I hope you all have a good evening, and I'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow.